The views and opinions expressed by the guests of the DiploSport podcast do not necessarily represent the official policy or position of any agency of the United States government or any organization, public or private.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to the latest edition of the DiploSport podcast. Earlier this year, to coincide with the presidential election and the World Series, the Cradle of Aviation Museum in Garden City on Long Island hosted a wonderful display of autographed baseballs that were signed by world leaders. When I found out that the guy that was the curator of this exhibit was, like me, from the South Shore of Nassau County on Long Island, I knew that I had a kindred spirit in this fellow world-class autograph hound. So I reached out to Randy Kaplan, and we sat down at the world-famous Baldwin Coach Diner there on Sunrise Highway in Baldwin. And Randy and I had actually two wonderful discussions. After our first interview, my computer melted down, and he couldn't have been more gracious with his time, and hopefully the second time was the charm. So with that, I will turn things over to my conversation with Randy, and I actually hope you enjoy the ambiance in the background noise, which I thought gave it a nice little character and made it authentically Long Island, authentically South Shore of Nassau County. For the second time.
Okay.
Who are you and why are you sitting across from me at the Baldwin Coach Diner? Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Randy Kaplan, and I am a collector of signed baseballs from world leaders and heads of state.
All right. And I recently became aware of you because there was some really neat press about a recent display that you had put together here on Long Island.
Yes.
What does that entail?
Sure. It was my collection was on exhibit at the Cradle of Aviation Museum in Garden City, New York, to coincide with the baseball playoffs and World Series, as well as the presidential election. So it was wonderful timing.
And what do you got in the collection?
The ones that were on display, there were about 200 baseballs on exhibit that were signed from world leaders from all over the globe, many, many countries. Nelson Mandela had signed, Mr. Gorbachev had signed for me. And the reason this all started was, as a kid, I was a collector of all things, comic books, baseball cards, wacky packages, the parody stickers from the 70s, Aurora Monster model kits. Then as I got into my teens, I started collecting autographs from the sports stars and the rock stars, and I enjoyed all that, but my life as a collector changed dramatically in April of 1993. I was on a business trip in Houston, and I had the night free. So I went over to the Astrodome to see if the team was playing, and sure enough, they were. The Astros were there.
Not the Bad News
Not
Bears.
Not the Bad News Bears, like we had remembered as kids when they played there. So it was great. I bought a ticket. Since I was only one person there, I got a seat right by the field, and the young lady sitting next to me said, "Oh, you're going to love this, because George Herbert Walker Bush and Barbara Bush come every night to the Astros games. They're avid baseball fans." And I said, "Well, that's a little weird," because he had just gotten back 2 days earlier from Kuwait, where there was a failed assassination attempt on the president. But luckily he wasn't hurt, and he didn't get hurt at all. He made it back, and the second inning comes around, and sure enough, here comes good old George and Barbara.
With the Secret Service detail.
Secret Service detail, and they sat right in front of me, a couple of rows in front of me, and I was really moved. I said, in all the years of meeting people in my whole life, I just saw and met the president of the United States. Now, he wasn't the sitting president, but he was out of office for 2 or 3 months. And I said, this is incredible. So I immediately went into autograph mode and had him sign my scorecard, which was great. And then I remember leaving the game and kicking myself, saying, what's more American than a baseball? George Herbert Walker Bush was a great baseball player at Yale.
Why, captain of the team, met Babe Ruth.
Right. Why didn't I go up to the souvenir stand and buy a Major League Baseball and have him sign it? So I was really really mad at myself for a while. And then a week or two later, I happened to be up in Cooperstown, New York, and I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I saw this incredible exhibit of balls that were thrown out from opening day baseballs from presidents from the U.S. dating back to the early 1900s. And I thought about that, and I'm like, that is just an incredible display. And I said, maybe I can bring this all together and make it work by creating a concept called diplomacy through baseball. And by that, I meant getting as many world leaders as I could to sign baseballs over the years and create this wonderful exhibit. So that idea was in my head. And then in 1996, I was on a business trip in Washington, D.C., yet again, another business trip. This time, I was a little bit more prepared, though, because I knew Bill Clinton was going to be our guest speaker at the Marriott Wardman Park, right by the zoo, beautiful hotel, and the president was coming in to speak. It was an election year, so he was speaking, and the day after that, Bob Dole was speaking. Mm-hmm. So I went to the event really early, had the baseball in my pocket, and I made myself a promise that I was going to get three things done that day, a picture, a handshake, and the baseball signed. And sure enough, I walked away with all three, and I was really happy. I just met the sitting president of the world, if you will.
The leader of the free world.
Leader of the free world, exactly, Morgan. And it was really something. I was bouncing around on a high for a couple of days from that.
And that just energized you to
And that was the first sitting president. I had Bob Dole sign the next day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, moving forward, I was collecting a lot of other signatures of foreign secretaries and secretaries of state, chiefs of staff to presidents, interior ministers. And then it got to the point where I said, I really just want to focus on the world leaders. Mm-hmm. So I started focusing solely on the world leaders, and that's really where my collection's headed over the last 20 years.
And this is heads of state, heads of government.
Heads of state, heads of government. So in other words, presidents, mm-hmm. prime ministers.
Kings, queens.
Kings, queens, royalty when possible. And remind me, I'll tell you later, this time I did meet Prince Charles, but unfortunately I wasn't able to get him to sign, so that was a heartbreaking situation.
How many do you have in the collection right now?
I have about 300 signed baseballs right now from current and past leaders around the world. Countries as diverse as Japan, Sri Lanka, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom. I have quite a few, and even some of the lesser known countries as well, like,
Micronesia,
absolutely. The Marshall Islands, Micronesia.
And you do a lot of preparation. I mean, you know who these leaders are.
I do. There's a lot of prep work that needs to be done, a lot of planning, a lot of patience, perseverance. Somebody once asked me, one of the world leaders that I met in the city one time said to me, and Paul Martin from Canada, mm-hmm. said, among many others, said, how do you know who I am? Because I'm sitting here at this meeting in the middle of the hotel at the Sheraton. Not a soul is approaching me and knows who I am, and you're coming up to me asking me for my autograph. Oddly enough, Jean Chrétien, former Prime Minister of Canada, also said the same thing to me when I caught him on the street.
They're very, the meeting. Very humble up north.
They really are. Hmm. They really are. And one more thing, Brian Mulroney, another former Prime Minister of Canada. One of the nicest gentlemen that I ever met. It was pouring rain outside, and I approached him. He goes, yeah, but let's not get wet. Come on under the overhang, and I'll sign it for you. He was super nice. That's
cool. I'm going to switch mics here. For some reason, okay. Now, do you use a specific brand of baseball to get signed?
I do. I use Rawlings Official Major League Baseballs. They are costly. They better quality materials is what I like to say.
It's uniform, too.
It's uniform. Every ball in the collection is exactly the same. Because my collection dates back 20-plus years now, some of the balls were signed on American League balls. Some of the signed on National League balls. Then in the year 2000, they became one official Major League Baseball mm-hmm. with the commissioner. So that's where I head now for the baseballs.
Do you have any rules on where they need to sign?
I don't. I actually am happy just to get their signature on the ball. I don't care if they sign it on a side panel. I don't care if they sign it on what's called the sweet spot. What I don't like, and it really touches a nerve with me, is when they sign across the stitching from one panel the next. I'm very crazy about how the parameters of how I like them to sign. They can sign it in whatever they want, black Sharpie, black pen. I just like them to sign them so it's within one panel. It's not going over all across all the edges.
For display purposes.
For display purposes, correct.
Do you keep them in the Lucite cases?
I do. I have them in the UV Lucite cases when they're in storage.
And do you care about what they sign with?
No, they can use the Sharpie pens. They can use black or blue ballpoint pens. When you think about it, a baseball rather, is a piece of white painted cowhide.
Yep.
Not meant to host an autograph. So you can look at a ball signed by Babe Ruth from 50, 60, 70 years ago, and the ball may look like it's yellowing and toning, but the signature may be great. You can look at a ball that I had signed last year from one of the world leaders, and just because of the way the leather hits the signature on the ball with the ink, the signature could be fading already or bleeding into the leather.
Do you have any signatures in your collection that have bled out or faded?
I do. Shimon Peres signed a baseball for me about 20 years ago. He happened to use a blue Sharpie on it when he was signing.
Which is appropriate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I still have it, but it's faded to the point where only I know it's there. But luckily his son helped me out a couple of years back when they were in New York City during the UNGA week, and we were able to get a replacement ball.
Would you ever pay for an autograph?
No, that's the great thing about my collection, and that's why I call it the Kaplan Collection. It's just what I get on my own through the research and the in-person meetings that I have. I've been lucky enough to meet a tremendous amount of world leaders in my life, and if I can't get it on my own, I seek the assistance of government professionals like Congressman Greg Meeks, who's a dear friend of mine here from New York. And I gave Congressman Meeks, who's a dear friend of mine, a baseball back in the early 2000s. And I said, if you ever have a chance and you take a congressional junket over to South Africa, would you please try and have Mr. Mandela sign? Because I've been not been able to get him to sign for years and years. I think it was at the point in his career where he just stopped signing autographs. You know, he had his memoirs had come out already. And he kind of was done with that. So I get a phone call one day. This is fast forward to 2005. Get a phone call from his then chief of staff saying, act surprised, your phone's going to ring any second. Sure enough, it was Greg Meeks calling me, telling me the wonderful news that he needs me to come to his office right away. He's got a present for me. And I kind of knew what it was. So I played dumb. I get down there and he pulls the baseball out of his desk drawer. And he says, Randy, I was in D.C. last week, and the Madiba, as they call Nelson Mandela, was here for a Congressional Black Caucus meeting, and he obliged, and he signed your baseball. But here's the kicker, okay? And I love telling this story, that after Mr. Mandela signed the baseball, he looked at Greg with that serious, stoic, stern voice of his, and he said, I bet you that cheat is for sale on eBay. So that really resonated with me. I love talking about that. That's a great story.
And so while you don't put money, you don't pay for the autographs, the balls ain't cheap, and your time is valuable.
Very
too.
True. The preparation for this is a hobby I would not wish on my worst enemy. Okay, it's not like you can walk into a coin collector shop or a baseball card store and purchase a 1952 Mickey Mantle, in condition PS6 that graded, and pay $50,000 and know what you're getting. This is the exact opposite. You're trying to get somebody's autograph in person where the access is usually very tight, or you're trying to make phone calls around the world to find out in the middle of the night who can help you in Sri Lanka by getting the former president to sign or the current president. And then you have to worry about the baseballs making it back to you. So I've learned that DHL is a wonderful way to make that problem go away, except it's about $150 to send a package each way. To a foreign country. So some of the baseballs are expensive, and
you have memories with all of these balls also where,
it's a lot of hard work. I'm able to negotiate sometimes with people like I did with Kim Dae-jung's people from the former leader of South Korea. And after about a year and a half, he acquiesced and he was kind enough to sign the ball. But I have the paperwork going back and forth with all the emails documenting the conversations via email. And, the time difference, there are stories and they're wonderful stories. I want to write a book about them one day. One of my favorites, I told you the Mandela one, one of my favorite stories is how I met Mikhail Gorbachev. Uh-huh. Back in 1996, he was coming out with his then memoirs, and he had two rare book signings lined up in the United States. One was in Washington, D.C. at Borders Books. The other one was in New York City at Barnes & Noble on Fifth Avenue.
Sure.
So I had gotten there really early that morning, and I knew I was going to be able to get a book signed.
So you buy the book itself, too?
Well, sometimes if you're there and you... Right, yes.
Or do you just put it under your arm like you're going to buy it and then go?
Well, the Gorbachev one I remember I bought, too. That was a good one. But the kicker to the story is I knew I was going to need more than just my good luck. So I planned really heavily the night before. I called a friend of mine, my landlord, who was a Russian Jew, and I had him phonetically teach me to spell out a passage, and I memorized that passage. And in essence, the passage was, "It's a pleasure to meet you. Would you take a picture with me and sign this for my collection?" So when I got up to Mr. Gorbachev that afternoon and he was doing the book signing, he was just signing books stoically, not even looking up. Security was just making sure that everyone ran, you know, got to the table and got the book signed, and Gorbachev just proceeded to keep signing. So I knew I needed to do this quickly. When it was my turn to approach the table, I started reciting the passage, and I pulled the baseball out of my jacket pocket, and security came in.
He's got a gun.
Basically, that's what you have to be afraid of. Security pushed my arm away. They went to grab the baseball. Mr. Gorbachev stood up. He pushed the security guard away, grabbed the baseball from my hand before the security guard could take it, and he sat down. He smiled at me. He signed the ball, stood up, handed me the ball, bowed to me, and shook my hand, and I was just ecstatic.
That's probably your favorite story.
That's
right?
One of the best stories.
So every time you look at that baseball, though, you get to remember.
It brings back the memories.
Yeah, and do you ever get nervous asking for autographs?
Nervous? No, I worry about things like what happens if, because once you can only do so much, and then it's up to them.
Yeah.
Okay, I was lucky enough to get 10 feet away from Prince Charles one time. And he was in Harlem at his school doing a charitable event. And I got there and it was 2 degrees out, literally freezing. I thought I was going to have frostbite. Okay. And at the end of the event, he comes out and he's walking with State Department officials. And I was 10 feet from him and there was a barrier. And I said, "Your Royal Highness," I said, "would you kindly sign this for me?" And he wanted to. He shrugged his shoulders up. Security would not let him approach. They would not let him approach me. It was just a matter of inches, you know, feet rather, and I could have thrown him the ball. And he felt bad. I saw the look on his face like he genuinely looked like he was sorry. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I'm sure I won't get again. And you have to do positive thinking and planning. So, you know, there have been many, many folks that I've been lucky enough to meet. Some of the folks that I've met in person just wouldn't sign. I met the president of Japan a bunch of years ago. I forgot his name. Bear with me one second.
Well, and Japan being a country that baseball's their national pastime, too.
It is.
And this really kind of lends itself to what you're saying about, we call it diamond diplomacy, like baseball diamond diplomacy.
Right, right.
At the State Department, where it's a way to bring people together.
Oh, absolutely. And that's
different cultures.
And that's why I used that concept that I came up with, diplomacy through baseball. Anyways, a bunch of years ago, I met Hunichiro Koizumi coming out of his hotel, and Good pull.
I'm impressed.
Well, the problem was that I knew he was a huge Elvis fan. I knew that Bush had George W. Bush held a state luncheon in Memphis at a barbecue joint, and I was actually at that restaurant, and I mentioned that. I mentioned Graceland. I mentioned all the Elvis things, and he didn't react. But I said, "When am I going to have a chance to meet him again?" And oh, God willing, it'll happen one day. But I do have Shinzo Abe, who sure signed a baseball for me, so I was thrilled about that.
You know, one thing that you kind of touched on is preparation. And it's not – you also do a good job of getting leaders on the ascent too, right? I mean, it's you have Donald Trump's autograph, right?
Yes, correct.
And you didn't get it since Tuesday.
I did not get it since Tuesday, but I will tell you one that I did get recently, which was great. When the whole Brexit thing was happening in Great Britain, I lined myself up to try and get all the people that I thought would be the next prime minister. So Theresa May signed my ball while she was one of the ministers of, I can't remember which one she was. Forgive me, I lost track of that. She signed the ball for me on a Friday. And then by Tuesday, she was the prime minister.
Wow.
The ball had come.
I didn't know that. That's
so that was, yeah, that was wonderful. That was great.
How did you get Trump's autograph?
I actually met Donald Trump many times living in New York,
sure,
and being in the city all the time. He's always out and about. He's not exactly one of those guys that stays in watching the big screen TV on
Trump Tower. Yeah.
So I caught him at a restaurant, Balthazar, down on Spring Street in the Village. Big celebrity hangout, and he was having dinner there as well one night with his, I guess, his family. And I approached him on the way out, and he was very kind. He goes, "What, do you always carry baseballs with you?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, yes."
Yeah, and that's pretty cool to have in the collection. Is there anybody that you would wouldn't have signed? I mean, Hitler or Saddam Hussein?
I would not want somebody of that nature in my collection. Yeah.
And Gaddafi was a possibility, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I did sit next to the foreign minister of Libya at a restaurant in New York City one year during the UN General Assembly. This was when I believe he had the tent set up in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. They were living in the tent. Sure,
And I couldn't believe that the foreign minister was very thoughtful and asked me if I would like it, and he took all my contact information, and I called him, and I just never heard back. And I think it was meant to be that wasn't in my collection.
Yeah, it'd be like a bad luck token. And,
yes.
But one thing you kind of touch on there is that it's a lot of relationship building where
it is.
You know, you sit, you talk to the guy.
It's no different than forming relationships in business.
Or diplomacy.
Diplomacy, correct. A friend of mine at one time was the French ambassador to the United Nations.
Wow.
Jean-David Levite.
Good gig.
So I remembered meeting him, and he had gotten me Jacques Chirac to sign a ball.
Wow.
And then a year or two later, he had become the French ambassador to the embassy in Washington, sure. D.C. So he would invite me down every year when I would be on my lobbying trip for the realtors to come meet with him at the embassy. And that was really something. And I'll never forget, he said to me, "Randy, you should be an ambassador, you know."
Well, and your day job is government relations.
I do government relations for a large real estate trade association.
Here on the island?
Here on the island, yeah. Yes.
Now, you, going back a couple steps to collecting leaders on the ascent, I thought one of the most interesting countries, if you will, on the planet for that is the Vatican. And you don't
not
have
many people know it's a country, which is impressive. that's very impressive.
It's kind of my job, right? But you don't have a papal baseball yet.
I don't have one as of yet. I did have about 10 or 12 that I thought I would have a chance with when that white smoke was coming out, but no, it turned out to be Francis, and I didn't have him. But from what I hear, when he took over the reins, so to speak, his plan was not to stay in that position for a long time. So I am trying right now to get who I think has a real shot at becoming the next pope, including Cardinal Marc Ollet from Toronto,
Quebec.
Yep, yeah. And Peter Turkson from South Africa, uh-huh. And there are a few others. And you know, I would also love to get Pope Benedict as well. As you know, he's still a viable
Pope,
man.
Pope Emeritus.
Yeah. Pope Emeritus. Yeah. I do have a couple of friends who I've asked to try and help me because they know people who know people. it's a very tough autograph. The current Pope is just, he did sign a baseball for somebody. It was all over national television.
Yeah.
Gentleman from Florida
recently,
did take
right?
a baseball last year from Florida. He was there and he screamed out to the Pope, but he was in the VIP section. Screamed out, and the Pope turned, and they threw the ball, and the Pope's skull cap fell off while he was trying to pick up the baseball. He did sign it and throw it back. And,
wow.
So it does exist. I've seen it. It was all over the news. Hopefully my collection is going to be all over the news continually, too. At the latest exhibit that I had at the Cradle of Aviation Museum, we were able to garner a tremendous amount of publicity, everything from the Associated Press to the New York Times, ABC News,
NPR.
That's absolutely how I, yes.
And you were featured on wonderful website Grantland. That's no longer with us, but
right.
Really interesting article.
And
I'll put links to all this in the show.
Oh, great.
Notes.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's all available on the website,
which is
www.thekaplancollection.com, and it's KAPLAN collection with a C, but you have to use the Kaplan collection. Otherwise, if you just write Kaplan collection, you're going to encounter somebody who collects 18th century photographic plates.
Okay. Which is actually
another strange collection.
They're next week's guest on the
I wouldn't doubt it. I think the term is daguerreotypes.
Daguerreotypes. Like from the Civil War and stuff?
Yeah, he collects that stuff.
All right, check that out too. We'll plug everybody. Okay, so I'm thinking of some of the tough autographs to get around the planet. The Cash Rose.
Absolutely. Now that relations are open, I'm hoping that things will get a little bit easier. I don't know if I'll ever have a chance to get Fidel. I did have a chance years ago. My dear friend Greg Meeks told me, I wish you would have mentioned this to me before, you know, I knew about your collection, because I did meet with Fidel a few times.
Wow.
This is going back
20
plus years. But I think there's a chance that I'll be able to get Raul Castro.
Ahmadinejad from Iran.
That's a very tough one. I did try.
Who's not the current, but Rouhani, I guess.
Rouhani. I did try for Rouhani a couple of years ago, and he just said no, flat out no to the ambassador.
Okay.
My top couple of autographs on the planet right now would be Vladimir Putin.
Okay. Why?
One of the toughest signatures. He just doesn't sign much. Uh-huh. I mean, it's like if you catch him on a piece of paper, it's worth a fortune. Just, it's a very tough signature to get.
Which is, I mean, you'd never sell the.
They're not for sale. No, they're not for sale. It means too much to me. The autographs are the stories that are behind each one of them. I really just want to build this collection and share it with the world as much as I can. Mm-hmm. I mentioned about all the museums that I've had the exhibits at. One of my dreams is to get it to be on exhibit at Cooperstown.
Okay.
We talked about that, right?
Okay. Well, Randy has been wonderful. we had a great first take interview here. this is round two, but
so let's just quickly go back. My collection's been on exhibit at 5 presidential museums and libraries through the National Archives system around the country.
Oh, that's how that works. Okay. Oh,
so I was able to pitch it to the folks at the Ford Museum back in 2008. And it was there for about, a portion of it was there for about 6 months. Then I got a portion of my collection into the Clinton Library in 2012. And that's just knowing people and finding, meeting people and forging relationships with them. And
no, forging.
Bad choice of words. That's right. An autograph collector can never use that term. Let's say fostering relationships. And then part of my collection went to the LBJ Museum in Austin, Texas, which I was really proud of because that was a sole exhibit on the first time I just had my materials on exhibit, and it was touted as the Randy Kaplan collection.
Do you get nervous shipping these?
I'm very nervous. Yeah. It's a very nerve-wracking thing, but there is an insurance policy that I make sure they give me.
But
I don't want to cash in on it.
Yeah, your money's not – I mean,
I don't want – you know, I'm not looking to cash in on this. It's – God forbid a FedEx plane explodes or something, you know.
Like Castaway.
Exactly. Exactly. And then he's going to be screaming, Wilson or Rawlings! Rawlings! So that's something I do worry about. The Cradle of Aviation one was great on Long Island here because I was able to just take the materials out of storage.
Local,
drive them right over, and it was great.
Yeah. I noticed you had Mugabe in your collection. How'd you get that?
He signed for me in 2015 at the UN General Assembly. After many years of trying, the ambassador was able to coerce him into signing for me.
How do you know that they're not using an auto pen?
Couple of different ways. This is, you know, when you're passionate about something and you know all the intricacies of signatures and what to look for and what not to look for. I'll give you a quick, for instance, Bronislav Komorowski just signed for me after trying for many, many years. And everybody knows that when he signs on a picture, it's script. It's scriptive handwriting, okay?
Yeah.
He printed his signature on the ball for me recently.
Uh-huh.
But where he printed, where the markings are on the signature, the emphasis marks and things on his hand, on this cursive, he also put on the handwritten one.
So, okay.
And plus, when they come from the ambassador, there's a lot of the ambassador of Poland to the United Nations has helped me get him as well, and Andre Duda as well.
Have you ever gotten one that you could tell isn't legit and you just chuck it, or have you been lucky?
I did get one time from Luis Alberto Lacalle, and I looked at the ball from Paraguay.
Paraguay.
And I looked at the ball and I said, something's not right. And then I realized what happened.
What?
The ball got forwarded to his son who's also a politician, his son signed the ball. Okay, so I called up his office and I sent the ball to him. And I said the ball was for the former president. His son was an elected official in the country.
Okay.
And sure enough, the ball came back signed beautifully, just like I've seen it a million times over.
You know,
one of the things I do, Morgan, I just want to tell you is, you know, when you're passionate about something, you do your research. I'm on the phone all hours of the night calling other countries.
Trying to find people that speak English.
Trying to find people that speak English, trying to use my diplomatic skills to the best I can. Getting them to understand about my collection. For many, many years while I was doing this, all I had was the newspaper articles that were printed, and I would include them and email them. Now I have a website, which is great.
The Kaplan Collection. The Kaplan Collection.com.
So everybody can go online now and see what I'm talking about. They can see all the media that I've been able to garner, pictures from all the exhibits, a list of all the baseballs, pictures of many of the top people signing baseballs for me.
And you recently got one from the president of Mexico.
I did. I was very happy. This past Friday morning, I received an email from his private secretary, and the email said something to the effect of the president has acquiesced and has signed a ball for your collection. You'll be receiving it shortly, and here is the picture of him signing your baseball.
How cool is that?
I was thrilled. Yeah. Okay, because I've been trying for 4 years and he just doesn't sign autographs. But they understood the scope of the importance of the collection I'm trying to put together. And the ball came in the package on Monday from DHL and I was floored, and I wasn't floored for a good reason. When I opened the box, there was his signature on one side panel. Very sloppy, perfect signature though for him. And then he took a pre-existing stamp of his name. And he stamped it with the coat of arms of Mexico on two sides of the ball. He obviously didn't like the way it took, so he went over one of the stamps a second time. So now it's like a 3D stamp. And then where the stamp didn't take with his name, he started filling in Enrique, with the marker. So I called Mexico from lunch hour at my car. From my car, and I begged the person to try and help me get another one. And she said, I honestly don't know if it's going to happen. He doesn't sign autographs. He was trying to do something very special for your collection. I'm like, well, it's a little too special to be displayed in museums now because it's hard to read. Can you please see if he'll sign another?
I got my fingers crossed for you on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, it's not just baseballs that you have in your collection.
I started something a couple of years ago, and what happened was I was meeting some of the presidents, past presidents, Bill Clinton, for instance, and I said, I'm going to be seeing him in a very intimate arena. I need to get him to sign something that's different. And I said, what complements a baseball better than a baseball bat? Mm-hmm. So I knew the security was going to be a little bit more tight, if you will, at this billionaire's apartment.
Still incredibly professional in protecting him, but...
Absolutely. And I said, let me bring in the baseball bat. Sure enough, I brought it in, and he was very kind, and he signed it, and it was wonderful. So after I had him sign the baseball bat, then it was on to getting the other living presidents. Jimmy Carter was great. I knew his son Jeff. His son Jeff facilitated that for me.
Oh, how cool is that?
My wife and I ran into him. We met him one day at the Carter Museum years ago. We stayed in touch, and Jeff's been a great guy over the years, getting me a few really unique things signed. And then the Bushes, the father and the son, were kind enough and signed the bats for me. And then the conundrum was, how do I get the sitting president, Barack Obama, to sign a baseball bat?
How do you get the sitting president,
Barack Obama? Good question. Chutzpah, I guess. I was at another fundraiser a few years back, and Nancy Pelosi was the guest of honor. Mm-hmm. She was outside cooking breakfast. It was a family fundraiser with kids who were allowed and farm animals. They had set up a little petting zoo. So her and Joy Behar were cooking breakfast, blueberry pancakes, and my kids still ask for her all the time. She took a liking to my kids, of course. I had her sign a baseball, and it didn't dawn on me to ask her this until she came over and took a picture with my family. I said, Leader Pelosi, I'm going to ask you something. It's a long shot, but I desperately need your help. Every other living president has signed a baseball bat for me. I cannot get President Obama to do this. I met him while he was still senator in 2006, and he reluctantly signed a ball for me. And she said, no problem. Her staffers were there from the DCCC and DNCC.
DCCC.
And they helped me shepherd this process through. It took 2.5 years. And I couldn't believe it. This past January, I would check in with them occasionally every other week, every other month. They would contact me. We'll check. We'll see what's happening. After about a year, I said, okay, it's probably not going to happen. Sure enough, this past January, the phone rang. I got a message from her staffer. Please call me right away. You're going to be very, very happy. So I was very thankful, and I wrote her a really nice thank you note, and Leader Pelosi sent me back a note thanking me as well. So,
and this is a bipartisan effort, too. You get support from Republicans. It's internal diplomacy,
absolutely,
too, really.
Absolutely. Anybody who can help me. And what's great is, like I said, I have members of Congress and friends in the government and high places around the world that are helping me, chiefs of staff to world leaders and ambassadors. And
present company excluded. What's your dream with this? Where do you want
to take it? Is to have it on exhibit at every presidential museum in the country. I would love to get it into the Ronald Reagan Museum.
Okay.
For some reason, they haven't been receptive to it yet. Maybe it's just not big enough, or maybe now that I've been able to garner so much publicity for it, now it's taking on a life of its own. We will try and get it there. I want to revisit some of the museums that I've had it at in the past, like the Ford Museum, the Clinton Museum, and the Nixon Museum, because only portions of my collection were there. Mm-hmm. Now I want to have the whole collection there again. Mm-hmm. Two of the really big dreams for the collection are to have it on exhibit at the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York.
Of course. I mean, this is a natural.
It's a natural. It's a no-brainer.
Are there obstacles to that?
You know, I'm kind of hoping that there aren't, but I've been in touch with the folks a few times. Mm-hmm. I know the president of the museum there. Great guy. And hopefully the curator and he will be more receptive to it in the future. It's just, it's such a natural idea. What's more American than baseball? And the other dream, which is even more of a wonderful fit, would be to really take off on the topic of diplomacy through baseball and have it displayed at the United Nations Visitor Center. So everybody walking in can see it when the UNGA is not in session. All the members of the public can see all these wonderful world leaders who understand what baseball represents here in America. And then, of course, the personal part of the dream is for me to be there when all the world leaders are coming in one by one, have them sign a ball and get it quickly in the case with a label, Brothers Label, P3 label maker.
And just how incredible would that? That would be really cool.
That's something that I thought about recently, and I just said I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. Just, I want to share it with the world. I want people to see that we're all the same. And most people want to sign a ball when they understand what I'm putting together.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any guidelines? You're always prepared, I presume, right?
Always have baseballs with me.
Uh-huh.
Always have
how many?
Always have a dozen or so with me in the car. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to a restaurant in the city, you know, I'll definitely have at least a dozen either in the car or half a dozen with me on my person. Mm-hmm. And because I started doing the bats, I always keep a bat in the car now, too. Not that I'm waiting for Cal Ripken to come out or Willie Mays, but on the rare chance. And there have been so many chance meetings that I've had with world leaders over the years. I don't want to take that risk. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take the risk of not being able to get a ball signed. We were joking around before, Morgan and I. We were talking about, what do you do if you have one ball left? And there's two or three world leaders in the restaurant. And I have nightmares about that. Some people have nightmares about the IRS checking their tax returns. I have nightmares about this. What do I do? Who do I go? You know, what's wrong with the baseball? Another recurring dream is I'm on a business trip someplace and I find out that there's going to be a bunch of world leaders coming and I don't have baseballs with me. So I run over to Sports Authority or Modell's trying to find baseballs and they have every brand in stock except the official Major League Baseballs that I use.
There's just such a nice, pleasant item to have on display. Great thing. You know, you read articles about things to always have on your desk and they mention autographed baseball.
Absolutely.
Great conversation.
One of the members of Congress that helped me years ago was Steve Israel, great guy here from Long Island, headed up the DCCC as well. Steve got me Rosalind Carter to sign a ball.
Oh, how cool is that?
Now, this is really great because Steve was in office. I introduced myself to him. He took a bunch of my baseballs down to the floor of the house when he first started out. And he said, Randy, I used your baseballs as an icebreaker. So the protocol is you don't just walk up to Dick Armey and say hello on the floor. He goes, I used your baseballs to get for my friend.
That's and first class.
Yeah, so it was really
nice. He is a good guy.
And I was flying to Washington, and Steve happened to be on the flight about 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And He said, who can I help you with? I said, I can't get Rosalynn Carter. He said, Randy, my chief of staff was the political director in the Carter White House. Within 72 hours, I had a ball FedExed on my desk at work.
Wow.
From the Carter, from Rosalynn Carter.
When are we going to put Zeldin to work?
That's a great question. Our good friend, Congressman Lee Zeldin from the 1st District here on Long Island. I think I asked Lee to get me the Afghani president last year. And he was not able to come through for me, and he apologized. I said, no need to say you're sorry. Just keep the ball, and the next time an opportunity exists, we'll get it done, right?
And you need to get him to sign a ball, too.
Well, I need to get him to help me get Donald Trump signed a baseball bat now, too. Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah, that'll be nice.
It fits right into the collection.
You have Carter. You don't have Reagan.
Unfortunately, I don't have Reagan, and I was really good friends with the Ford staff. I wish I would have done this with the bats years ago.
Let's say Reagan bat, totally legit, authentic, pops up on eBay. You wouldn't buy it?
No.
No.
You wouldn't buy it. Because the only things I collect are things that I've gotten in person or through the assistance of a good friend of mine that's in government or a top official. I've handled bats before that were signed. I had a Richard Nixon signed bat. It was from the Oral Hershiser collection.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I had it, but it wasn't part of my collection.
Yeah. We were talking about folks that you wouldn't want autograph, or you wouldn't want autographs from. I didn't mention, Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
That's a real tough autograph. Yeah.
He's gotta be tougher than Putin, right?
I would say so.
Yeah. Just cause, I mean, they're so isolated. Yes. And everything. And speaking of ambassadors, if you'll indulge me, you and I had talked about me working for Ambassador Richard Holbrooke, and, you know, believe it or not, I was basically his body man. And he always let me carry baseballs with me, and get them signed. He thought it was the coolest thing. And, you know, just always tried to set me up. He would introduce me to different generals or the Secretary of Defense or Secretary Clinton. And he was great about, you know, kind of pushing me out and fostering this. Cause I think he recognized that the other leaders, like we're charmed maybe by getting the opportunity to sign right. Baseball. And I have a Hillary Clinton signed ball. I just had her sign Hillary on it though.
Amazing.
You obviously have a bunch of her.
Yeah, artists. she wrote Hillary Rodham Clinton on the ball and the bat for me.
Uh-huh. So you were ready to go with.
Oh, the bat was actually on exhibit at Brandon Aviation Museum. I tell a lot of my friends, please don't travel anywhere without baseballs because you never know.
You never know.
And we have friends that collect world leaders autographs. Mm-hmm. I have about 25 people that I communicate with around the globe.
Sure.
It's a private little Facebook page that we update each other on who's signing, who I met with, who needs a signature from this person. We'll help each other out.
Do you have like a spreadsheet or something like that?
I do. It's you can look at the website.
Oh, it's on the website?
The list of all the baseballs are on the website.
Sure, I've seen. But like, I mean, you track in like who you want to get or is that
all? It's all up in my head. But I have a list of about 500 balls that I've sent out over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. That I didn't get back.
You know, it's the cost of doing business.
You know, if you look at it over the cost of doing business over 20 years, it's not so bad. You know, it's.
What about, are you looking towards 2020? Like, are there any front runners? Do you have a Paul Ryan ball?
Or? I do. I'm in the process of getting some of these Republican and Democratic folks who I think may run again to sign baseball bats.
Okay.
I had John Kasich sign a bat this year.
Oh, cool.
Early this year, Marco Rubio signed a bat for me.
So do you drive up to New Hampshire during the primary season?
No, actually, Kasich was here on many occasions.
Sure. He ate pizza with a fork and knife,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. That was, yep. And he was here at Hofstra University.
Oh, that's right.
Marco Rubio was, you know, friends helping each other out. I have a friend who's a dear friend of Marco Rubio. So I saw him in Washington, D.C. He signed a ball for me, and I told him about our mutual friend. And he said, sure, you send her the bat. We'll get that done for you. No problem. Great. So
It's funny how this is – it brings out the good in people, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can't understate that.
I have a friend that worked for Ted Cruz. He was so happy. He goes, Ted didn't like to sign autographs, but he learned about your collection from me, and he was thrilled to do it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, Republican, Democrat.
Makes no difference.
Yeah, that's really.
I even have Gary Johnson. I thought he was going to draw a marijuana on it, but he didn't.
Where did you meet him?
I didn't meet him. I sent it to him when it was.
Where is he?
He's in Utah, I think.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. Like Moab or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Anything else that you want to throw out there? We covered the UN. There's a documentary coming out about autograph hands.
Well, there's a documentary that's in the works on collectors, passionate collectors, and I'm the subject for the autograph. They're calling me the autograph hunter. They were just in town filming me with the president, the former president in Nigeria last week.
Good luck, Jonathan.
Good luck, Jonathan, up in his hotel room. And he was just terrific. Really, really super nice guy.
Wait, you just said up in his, so he invited you up?
Yeah, he did. His chief of staff arranged for us to have a meeting. And it was wonderful. He agreed to be photographed and interviewed, and so it was a very nice day.
Wow. This was wonderful.
I'll tell you one interesting thing that I love. Gary Ackerman, Congressman Ackerman, is a dear friend of mine. He's got a phenomenal collection of signatures as well.
Really? I didn't know that.
Tremendous collection. So much so that I wish I knew him 25, 30 years ago, because he's got so many world leaders that he met that I don't have. The president of Egypt, and just some incredible Asian signatures and Chinese leaders. And
do you have a preference if they sign in English or their native language?
Doesn't matter. Sometimes they sign both. Sometimes they sign just printed. Sometimes they'll do scriptive.
Yep.
Really doesn't matter to me. Whatever they're comfortable with. Some people say, do you want to date it? It's up to them. If they want to date it, it's great.
Not personalized. No stamps.
Yeah, I just prefer it not to be personalized, because my first couple of baseballs were done that way. Benazir Bhutto personalized the ball for me when I first met her.
Uh-huh.
Thank God I had a second ball with me in my pocket because I wasn't paying full attention. I got introduced to her, and she took the ball, and she starts writing to Randy. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, Madam President, I said, please, all my other baseballs are just – She obliged. She was very nice about it.
Oh, how sharp is that? And then any parting wisdom or advice to autograph collectors out there?
Be passionate. Think positive.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. Do your research. And, you know, sometimes you'll have a split second. It's that, do I get the picture taken with the dignitary, or do I get the autograph? I know for me, the autograph is much more important. The picture will always be up in my mind.
Yep.
Because this is what I'm doing. Some people would rather have the picture, and they don't care about the autograph.
And then, have you heard from people overseas? Have you gotten feedback? I can't imagine anybody does not have positive feedback about this.
Yeah, they're all enamored with it, to be honest with you. As I mentioned before, there's about 25 world collectors around the globe, world leader signature collectors, and we help each other out, and people are just... They just think it's the greatest idea.
And it's cool to hear about Ackerman, or even folks, if you watch the State of the Union address.
That was in the early.
Yeah. Where the president, go ahead.
President Obama's a very tough autograph. You met him. You had something signed from him a few years ago as well. When I met him in 2006, he was still a senator, and he reluctantly signed a ball for me. And getting that bat signed from him was an incredible accomplishment, thanks to Nancy Pelosi and her incredible staff. But if you look during the State of the Union speeches over the past few years, the president is inundated with requests from the members of Congress who, you know, they know his signature is worth a few bucks. And
yeah.
So I saw him last year on television turn down Barbara Lee from California. And she looked at him and he said, I'm sorry, I'm only signing the State of the Union programs tonight. She had opened a portfolio with some large reprints of pictures of her and constituents with the president, and he wouldn't sign them that night. He said, I'm sorry, just these tonight.
This isn't an autograph show. We're not at the Javits Center. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I just think it's cool that there are people in high levels. I didn't know about Ackerman, but they collect autographs. Like I said before, I just think it...
My jaw dropped when I saw Gary's collection. He recently hosted me at his house to show me his collection. And, you know, he gave me the greatest compliment. He said to me, Randy, and he said, I just can't even tell you how amazing your collection is, considering you don't have the access that someone like I had to get these done in person. He goes, what you've put together is truly historical and history. And Gary blessed me with his presence at the grand opening reception at the Cradle of Aviation Museum.
How sharp is that?
Which was really, really nice.
I'm struck by a couple of things, and I'm really – thank you so much for your time. And also
this is my pleasure. I could talk about this with you all night long.
You basically have.
You basically have. It's okay.
But two things. This collection – Everything's positive. It brings out the best in people.
It does.
I think that's one message I want people to take away.
People want to help me. I've gotten so much great feedback over the past 6 weeks since the collection's been on exhibit in Garden City, New York. Unfortunately, it just ended, but the media has been tremendous. And I had so many people contact me that they saw my stories in Newsday, or they saw it on Fios One television, News 12, NPR.
And then the second thing that, and we'll get out on this, is you have so much passion for this. And let's, you know, this ostensibly is a podcast about sports and diplomacy, but let's put those on the side for a second.
Sure.
You know, you're getting to the Clinton event in 96, 6 hours early, you know, to position yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You're learning Russian and,
you need something more than, you need something to have. I don't want to say a trick up your sleeve, but you need to be prepared.
But it's more than preparation, Randy. It's passion.
It's passion, perseverance, and it's, the desire.
Yeah.
It really is.
And
when you think positive, you know, you could plan out strategies. I could plan six moves down the line, how something's going to work out. And those six don't work out, then I need to go into DEFCON 4 and get the next part of it to happen.
Yeah, and because of that, you have this, and I'll post pictures too, but this just beautiful collection that people, the only emotion and reaction you can have is positivity and smile. And
I have
memory.
To tell you, the gentleman at the museum, Rod, the marketing director over at the museum, the Cradle of Aviation Museum, when I walked into the room and I saw what he put together, I was almost in tears. It was the culmination of what I've been trying to do for years and years.
In your backyard.
In my backyard, and to see it firsthand and let my friends and family see it, it truly is a dream come true. And as my kids get older, I hope they really appreciate what I'm trying to accomplish here.
Randy Kaplan, thekaplancollection.com. Thank you so much for all your time today.
This was great, Morgan. Thank you so very much.
For Randy Kaplan, I'm Morgan O'Brien, and thank you for listening to the DiploSport podcast. Please follow us on social media. We are at DiploSport on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have a moment, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave feedback. That stuff like that helps us continue to get great guests like Randy.